My name is Ted Parks, and today I want to talk to you about spiritual abuse in leaders, the second warning sign. And that warning sign is they require unquestioned obedience. They may not actually say it that way, but you'll find out soon enough that that's what they require. Now, I want to make it clear that I believe that good leadership is really awesome. We need it. It's a blessing from God. But bad leadership is very destructive and causes lots of damage and hurt. So I'm going to look at, first, unquestioned obedience, second, delegated authority, and third, the use of the terms obey and rebellious a lot by leaders. So first, unquestioned obedience. This is a top-down authoritarian model that's used. And I figure the best way to share it is to share about a movement in the past that taught this type of system. The name of that movement is no longer in existence, but the reality is this teaching went around the world. So it's now not just in the States where it began, but it's all over the place. And this is called what's called the Shepherding Movement or the Discipleship Movement. And it was in the late 70s, early 80s, during that time, where the system came out in this big movement because they thought they needed more accountability. So what they did is they said, there's five of us who will be at the top. And we'll be accountable to one another in all areas of our life. We need permission, basically, to do most anything. Under them was all the pastors and evangelists. And then under the pastors was their leaders. Under their leaders were the congregation, the people that went to church. And you are to obey the leader over you or the pastor over you with absolute obedience. And the way it was referred to understand how much you are to obey, this is the usual quote, and I've heard it even today, that if God tells you to do something, and you know it's God, you have no question that it's God. But your pastor tells you to do something else, and you must obey your pastor rather than God. That is not godly. That's putting your pastor in the place of God. Now, the organizational structure and way that organization is moving, that's a different story. But in your personal life, no, you must obey God. Your pastor is there to help you to become better at following Jesus and obeying God, not taking the place of Jesus. Another saying was, if your pastor says jump, you should only question how high, but not whether you're to jump or not. You're just jump. Another situation I heard about, I actually was watching, and this discipler, in the more discipling context, which was basically had one guy at the top, underneath were people he was discipling or she was discipling, under those were others they were discipling, and it just went down and down. Everybody had a discipler or was being discipled. And one of the disciplers was telling their disciplee, they said, the answer to living a godly life is just obey. Obey me as your discipler. Obey. They weren't talking about obeying Jesus. They were talking about obeying them. The focus was obeying your leader. And that's the idea in this system that came out. Basically, this system is nothing but a control system with religious garments. I've shared that before. Now, some other leaders rose up in this movement who weren't in agreement, and they came against it and said, stop it, this is not of God. And you're right, it wasn't of God, and it needed to stop. One of those leaders, one of the more prominent of those leaders that rose up said, the only difference between this system that you come up with, this teaching, and Jamestown, or where Jim Jones' group, is the Kool-Aid. It was very serious because it was a very destructive group. Now, through this teaching, many, many people were wounded. There were so many wounds and so many hurts. One leader had told a person under them to give them their car. And he gave them their car. Others were telling you get married to this person. Oh, you get married to that person and whatever. And sometimes they actually worked, but many times it was very disastrous. They were getting in areas of authority that God never gave. Pastor has some limited authority, but he doesn't have unquestioned obedience authority, or they were taking authority where it didn't belong to them. So there was a lot of hurts, a lot of wounds, to the point where finally two of those leaders that were on the top five actually came out and apologized for all the hurts and all the wounds that the leaders had caused the people under them. Another thing you will hear that came out of this type of movement, some phrases that are kind of warning signs. If you hear them, be careful. It's probably a group that has the same type of system. One of those warning signs is they may ask you, who is your spiritual covering? Or they require you must get in a spiritual covering, and they're referring to a person, your pastor or leader, who is covering you. Well, in reality, the truth is, Jesus Christ is our covering, not a pastor or leader. But they will say you need a pastor. But the Bible says you need Jesus as your covering. In Ephesians 1:22, I'll look right there, referring to Jesus Christ, it says, and God, referring to God, put all things under his feet, Jesus, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Here the church is referring to the whole body of Christ, all believers in Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the head, that God gave him as head over all things to the church, the body of Christ. No pastor, no organization. Jesus is the head. I had gone to a seminar, and it was taught basically generally the same idea, that you have like an umbrella, and your pastor or leader is like that umbrella. If you obey your pastor, then the enemy can't really touch you very well. But if you disobey your pastor, it's like going out from under that umbrella, and the enemy can just beat you up and just come against you very strongly. So the idea is stay under the umbrella, obey your pastor. Another, when this movement basically came against, it stopped. You don't hear anybody talking about the shepherding movement, whatever. But it hasn't stopped. It went around the world. Even though in the States, United States, it kind of stopped out openly. And in the United States, it went underground. And then there are actually two movements that came out of this that aren't underground. They're very above ground, and they've gone around the world with their movements, teaching this high authoritarian system. One discipleship type system, and one the shepherding type system. Today, because they went underground, some will not refer to your shepherd, but they say spiritual father, that your leader is like a spiritual father to you, and you are like a child to them, and obey them as a child would their father. That is also not of God. We have one father, one spiritual father, and that's God. In Matthew 23, it says, call no one your father. We have one father. And it says we have one leader, Jesus. And we are all brother. We're on a level platform there. So, we need to look at Scripture. What does the Bible say? What does Jesus teach? Well, we don't have a spiritual father but God. Others would say covenant relationship. Now, we do have a relationship, covenant relationship, with God through Jesus Christ. With Jesus, we have that covenant relationship. But they're talking about a covenant relationship with the organization, with your group. Which means you covenant with one another, and the covenant relationship's for life, so being part of that group is for life. You can't leave. That's another warning sign. Look for those warning signs. But Jesus taught servant leadership, not lorded over authoritarian type leadership, but servant leadership, serving those who you lead. But what is servant leadership? Well, let's look what Jesus share, because he taught very clearly in the scripture about this. Matthew 20, 25 through 28. So we'll look at the Matthew 20. Now to set this up, just before he talks about this, James and John, their mother, comes to Jesus. And she says, hey, Jesus, can my sons sit on your right hand and on your left hand in the kingdom to come? Jesus is like, you don't know what you're asking. Then he went on a little bit, and they came to verse 25 and began to teach the apostles. Because the other apostles were upset. Because maybe they wanted to be on the right hand and left hand also. So why does John, James and John get that place? We don't know, but they were upset. So Jesus took the opportunity to teach servant leadership, not exalting oneself, but humbling oneself. So verse 25, but Jesus called them to himself, the apostles and disciples, and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles or nations, that just can be referred to either way, lord it over them. And those who are great exercise authority over them. So among the nations, this is how leadership works. The leader lords it over. They exercise authority over. And the people actually serve the leader. Yet, there's Jesus, verse 26. Yet, it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. You want to be great? You want to be a top leader in Jesus' kingdom? Become the greatest servant. So let him be your servant. Do not lord it over. Do not exercise authority over. Jesus said, it shall not be. Verse 27. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Wow. Very clear. 28. Now Jesus is going to share, I've been the example. This is your example of servant leadership. He says, verse 28, just as the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus says he came to serve. Well, how did he come to serve? How did he show that? Well, let's look at one instance, or actually two. First, in that culture, the lowest servant in the household would wash guests' feet when they came in for dinner or as a guest. So Jesus, to show them what true leadership was, took some water and a towel. And he took this lowest position in that house and went to his disciples and began to wash their feet. He humbled himself to the lowest point you could possibly humble yourself in that situation to show his disciples what true leadership really was. So as he washed his feet, he eventually came over to Peter. And Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. But then Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. So Peter changed his mind and allowed Jesus to wash his feet. And then Jesus went on to teach and said, now if I, your Lord, your king, teacher, if I've washed your feet, go and wash others' feet. Example, meaning you as leaders, go and be servant leaders, just as I showed you. It went on beyond that. Jesus was then betrayed and taken before the judgment seat. And that place, they condemned him and took him out. This is the Son of God. God who created them, they came against him. And they began to curse him and spit on him and mock him. Some says, prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you? The very ones he created were mocking him and beating him with whips. Major pain. He had humbled himself, come down from heaven, and took on flesh, and suffered like we suffer. That is servant leadership. And then they took him to a cross. Now, he didn't have to go. He could have called 10,000 angels and stopped it. But he went willingly because of love for us. He went to the point of the cross, someone who had committed no crime, but was nailed on a cross like a common criminal, yet no sin. Why did he let it happen? Because he loved us, and he was becoming the greatest servant leader possibly in all of history. And that was one of the greatest examples of leadership, when a leader is willing to die for those who they lead. Servant leadership, that's what Jesus taught. That's what Jesus showed. That's what we're to do. It's not this authoritarian high up. That's what they do in the nations. But in my kingdom, Jesus said, it's just the opposite. The greatest leaders will become the greatest servants. Next, we're going to look at delegated authority. Delegated authority. And delegated authority, basically, the idea is, Jesus, you know, he went to heaven, so he gave his authority, or delegated his authority to leaders, pastors in the church. And therefore, we're to obey our pastors as if we're obeying Jesus, because he delegated his authority to them. That's not true. We're not to do that. In that case, the pastor is taking the place of Jesus in your life, and that shall not be. He can't take Jesus' authority. We follow Jesus. Our pastor should be there to help us follow Jesus even better, to help guide us to the Word, to help us to be more godly, but not to draw people to himself and obedience to himself. That's not how God's plan. I was looking at a video. And a pastor in this type of organization, this type of system, was in front of the people, and he said, when I speak, it's as if Jesus is speaking. And he's talking about this delegated authority. So when he speaks, it's as if Jesus is speaking because of that delegated authority. I was listening to another pastor, a top leader, and he was saying, be careful who you get as your pastor, because he will be your Lord. And he wasn't saying that as a negative thing. He was saying this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it is. Well, I say it's not the way it is. The Bible says that's not the way it is. Your pastor is not to be your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. No pastor should take the place of Christ in your life. We can go directly to Jesus. We don't need a mediator through our pastor or someone who, one of our leaders. 1 Peter 1:5, the Bible talks about that. 1 Peter 1:5. And here's Peter. He's talking about elders. And he says, elders are leaders, basically. And then he talks about the shepherds who are pastors. Elders are pretty, go together many times. But here's the pastors. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Verse 3. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So not as being lords. Don't be lords over the people. Don't lord it over them. But be examples. And as we look at Jesus, what he said, be servants. Serve the people who you lead. That's godly leadership. That's what Jesus taught. Last, I'm going to look at the two words used a lot in these type of groups, obey and rebellious. You hear that a lot, and they're referring to themselves rather than to God. Then you've got a warning sign. You've got a problem, and you need to examine it. It seems like in these groups, a lot of times, the answer to everything, to being the most godly, to being the most victorious and in life, is to obey them. That's the answer for everything. And if you are rebellious against them, then every problem will come and disaster. So it's obey, don't be rebellious. And you'll hear people being called rebellious. And if you obey, doors open wide up. You can do a lot of things in that organization. If you are considered rebellious, doors close, and you won't be able to do hardly anything. Sometimes nothing. Just sit. And then often you hear Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey those who rule, or your leaders, who rule over you, or your leaders, and be submissive. For they watch over your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy, and not with grief. But that would be unprofitable for you. So they're here. Your leaders are here to watch over us, to bring protection. And but they, these leaders of this kind of group, will use this and they'll say, obey. The Bible says, obey your leader. So obey me. And they force it and push it. But that word obey is a very light form of obey. It doesn't mean unquestioned obedience. If you look at the word, what it actually says in the Greek, obey when you're convinced of truth. So if your leader convinces you of truth, convinces you of truth from the Bible, obey it. Follow it. If he gives good advice, then follow it. But check it out. You can check out through the Word of God. Check out through others and see. And if it's of God, then follow it. God uses our leaders to help in guidance and stuff. But not unquestioned obedience. There is a sense of authority, but not, it's a limited authority, not unlimited. So, follow Jesus and let your pastor be used to help you become the most that you can be in the kingdom.